I think it's George Bernard Shaw who said, if you report dangerous news, report it with a smile, or otherwise they will hate you. And I fear I lost my smile after Copenhagen. Climate change actually is an ancient development. About 6 or 4,000 years ago, humans started to grow rice and wheat and do some animal husbandry. Carbon dioxide and methane started to rise. And subconsciously, humans have actually mitigated the next ice age by about 2.7 degrees, which is a huge amount. The glaciers would have reached Central Europe by now. But by about 1800 or so, again, subconsciously, humans have lost this subconscious track. And the Industrial Revolution started to release not only carbon from the biosphere to the atmosphere and the oceans, but also fossil carbon hundreds of millions of years old. Now, the mastery of fire by humans of about 200 to 300,000 years ago, it's uncertain, distinguishes the species from any other living organism. You can say it's the blueprint of the species. No other species ever mastered fire. It gave Homo sapiens the power not only to burn large parts of the biosphere, but ultimately mine the biospheres of perhaps 400 million years ago. Now, releasing the carbon from these sources into the atmosphere, which forms, in fact, only 10 kilometers troposphere, the lungs of the biosphere, very much like the mucus on our lungs relative to the size of our body, the thin, fragile atmosphere constitute the lungs of the biosphere, the means through which the carbon and oxygen cycle are operating. But by releasing more than half the original inventory of the atmosphere, 590 gigaton carbon, humans have already perpetrated a fundamental change in the conditions at which we have arisen, some 3 or 4 million years ago, and even large mammals have arisen on the continents. We live in a lag period now of 30 or 35 years when the oceans absorb the heat and carbon dioxide, but they are absorbing it to a lesser extent. Now, it may sound like a science fiction, and is entirely counterintuitive to suggest that perhaps 100 or 120 parts per million of carbon dioxide will result in such a fundamental change in the biosphere, its environment, and in the oceans. And it might sound like science fiction, and it certainly sounds like science fiction to me, to say that we are now trekking towards the condition of an ice-free Earth. The last time the Earth was free of ice was 34 million years ago. Yet, this is precisely what the science tells us. Even climate scientists want to deny it in their own mind. We don't believe the numbers we're looking at. We don't believe the evidence we look at, and yet we can't deny them. So it's on and off. In a way, it's like individual death. We don't believe it. We don't want to think about it. Something bigger than this is happening. So we have to listen to nature, and nature is now talking. It's talking through a series of abrupt, extreme weather events. When our politicians talk about the floods and cyclones and fires which have happened recently, they do not mention climate change. And that's enough to tell you where they are. Now, the evidence includes first direct measurements of carbon dioxide, methane, temperature, of ice melt rates, of sea levels, and of acidity in the oceans. The oceans is a universe in its own right, and not many people worry about it. They're demise. This was a great hope of humanity. There were the great frontiers. But with a lowering pH and increasing temperature, something else has happened. The second line of evidence are the basic laws of physics and chemistry. They cannot be denied. The deniers don't even understand them. They never read a basic book on climate science or physics or anything, as far as I know. And the third is nature talking now. Climate change, rapid, accelerated, runaway climate change is unfortunately happening now, so I'm trying to smile. Now, it's natural for people to react with disbelief to such scenarios. It can also be expected that those who believe in human mastery over nature or that technology can fix all issues will not allow the facts come in the way of their ideology and psychology. Not least, it is extremely difficult for climate scientists, and accidentally I have to clarify, I'm an air system scientist, so the ocean and the climate comes into it, rather than pure climate scientist or atmospheric physicist. Not least, it's painful for scientists to find themselves in the role of a Jeremiah or the role of a Cassandra. We are being ostracized. We're being intimidated. People are running away from us. The climate scientist doesn't have good news for us. So it's not surprising that relatively very few scientists, whether in the climate or earth science or biology and related fields, are really reluctant to talk in public. Now, the fossil fuel industry is the biggest industry in the world, apart from the military. So one can expect that they wouldn't give up their profits just like that, without a fight, at the price of the earth. The media is possibly the most powerful force in what's called a democracy. And the media, much of it is privately owned and has political and business agendas. But perhaps the most cynical development, which I have myself encountered for the last 7 years, is that there are people, and there are such people in every sphere of life, who are, even though they have a scientific background or professional background, prepared to lie at the peril of everybody, including themselves. What these people do, they fabricate scientific information, they change the numbers on existing plots, they ignore the basic laws of physics and chemistry, they misreport or cover up events and development around the world. It's sad that, sadly, the atmosphere is not waiting for human decision.